Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with David Erfley, founder and editor of the JuniorMinorJunkie.com. And Dave, it's always great getting you on the show to get your thoughts on the macroeconomic factors that are driving the markets, as well as the precious metal sector. And I love getting your thoughts on the mining stocks, since I know you follow everything with your subscribers, from the large producers all the way down to the very small explorers and everything in between. So as we put a pin in the month of May and close things up, what's your take on the yellow metals close today to wrap up the month of May?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping that the month would close well above 1835, and I got my wish. I didn't get my wish of it closing above 1850, but it closed right below 1850 for the month. So that's pretty good. So yeah, I mean, the gold price is taking a look at what the Fed is going to be doing here in a couple weeks, and so is everybody else as far as the markets are concerned on the equity side as well. So if you take a look at the daily chart, there's kind of a bullish flag in the gold price and the miners as well. But there's also a lot of things that could go wrong still here. But it is nice to see the gold price close the month above 1835.
Well, Dave, as you mentioned, all eyes are on the Fed rate hiking cycle. I think everybody and the markets themselves have priced in two more 50 basis point hikes. Then the question will be, can they continue on that hiking cycle, or are they going to have to pause and or at least slow down or stop completely? So that all remains to be seen. But I think a lot of it depends on where the inflation readings come in. So what's your take on the balance of the Fed policy versus where you expect the CPI numbers to start trending?
Yeah. The next CPI figures are coming out next week on the 10th of June after another non-farm payrolls report this Friday. So you know, the jobs market has been very good, and that's been the impetus for the Fed to remain very hawkish in rising rates and thinking that the economy can handle it and that they can actually engineer a soft landing. You know, this is also the same institution that told us that inflation was transitory for several months before they finally realized it wasn't. And the rest is history, where the inflation genie got out of the bottle and now they're chasing it, and now they're forcing a recession. I think we're already in. I mean, we've already seen the negative Q1 GDP come in, and then it got revised even lower last week. And then the next one will come out at the end of July during that next Fed meeting. And I expect that to be negative, and that'll technically put us in a recession. So the Fed is really trapped here. You know, let's face it, the stock market sniffed out the Fed being trapped. I mean, all three, the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow, they've all formed these very ominous head and shoulders topping patterns. The necklines have been broken, and now we've got this bear market bounce to where those necklines are being back tested. So it's getting very dangerous out there. And, risky junior gold stocks have not really been in favor because it's so dangerous out there. And the gold price continues to remain in this range between 1800 and 2000.
Yeah, and with gold stuck in that range, Dave, the margins of the producers aren't really doing much because, if anything, they're seeing cost creep because of their development projects, even just their cost in their production mills, the cost to build anything, the cost for parts, the cost for labor, it's all going up for mining companies. So that's not doing a whole lot to help their margins. And then on the riskier juniors that just burn cash, the little drill plays or even some of the development stage companies, they seem to be getting flushed along with the general markets. Do you expect that to decouple at any point? Or do you think if we continue to see more pressure in the general markets, it's just going to suck the mining stocks down with them?
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about as far as the recent low is concerned in both the GDX and the GDXJ. You know, we've seen, you know, we've talked about those open weekly gaps, downside gaps in both of those indexes being ominous. And the first one was back tested, and then we had another wave down after it was back tested. Now, the most recent one is in the process of being back tested several times. Today, the GDXJ even started trading into that gap, but immediately reversed this morning. So, if you take a look at downtrend lines on a lot of these juniors and many of the miners as well, downtrend lines are being respected, not only in the mining sector, but in the stock market as well. You know, we see buying come into stocks and they're bought up to their respective downtrend lines, and then they're sold. So, you know, that's a big reason why I built up such a huge cash position here and I'm sitting on it. I don't want to be a buyer of anything yet until we see what happens with this next Fed meeting. I think the stock market is very dangerous here, and I wouldn't be surprised to see another wave down here pretty soon after this bear market rally runs its course. I think a good place to look where it may end is these 50-day moving averages on the S&P and the Dow. I think for the S&P, it's around 4,300. So I might even put on a short position if that takes place.
Well, Dave, in this kind of an environment where you're mentioning the downtrend lines, not just in the mining stocks, but also in the conventional markets are being respected. Resistance is acting like resistance. That's going up to it and getting swatted back down. Imagine that. But if that's the case, what will you be looking for to signify that, hey, it is time to get back in? Would you be looking for a break above those trend lines on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or a break past some of these gaps? What will you be watching for to signify it's a safer time to accumulate?
Yeah, I'm looking for, as far as the GDXJ is concerned, I'd like to see that first downside gap closed above with conviction, meaning with some really good volume. And that's above 45. So I'd like to see a strong weekly close above 45 with strong volume. And as far as the GDX is concerned, that first open weekly gap was around 36, and 35 was resistance for a while before. And I think once you get above 35, 36, you fill that first downside gap, which is between 36 and 36.50, right around there, with conviction and strong volume, that would be an all clear signal as well. And on the flip side of that, I would look for some signs of capitulation on the downside. We've already seen some capitulation in a lot of these juniors. Some of them have already started to bounce, but as far as the sector is concerned, if we take a look at historical reference, the last time the Fed started a rate hike rising cycle was in late 2018. And that has also coincided with the 2016 move in the mining sector that went up so far so fast from early 2016 into mid 2016. That was about a 300% move in 6 months from a spike low. And that took 2 years to consolidate. And that was into July of 2018. And the GDXJ went down close to 50%. So I think it was like 49%. So if we take a comparable correction, would be the GDXJ going down to 33. It's already hit 35, which is pretty strong support going back the last several years. But we should gear up for a possibility of it going down to 32, 33. If we saw some panic coming into the stock markets, let's face it, if we see panic coming into the stock market on another leg down, everything's going to get sold. So that would be the areas I'd be looking for, and also capitulation in a few sector leaders as well.
Well, it's definitely a tough time to be a precious metal investor, or really an investor in any market right now, because these are tough markets. Unless you're in energy, everything else has gotten hit. But it doesn't sound like that's terrible downside from where we are. It's just people should be prepared for further weakness and maybe a capitulation move. It's a time like these, Dave, where we do see some companies being opportunistic. And we had another big announcement today of another merger of the big boys. We had Gold Fields announce they are going to buy Yamana. And I guess their rationale behind this was they want growth, they want more financial disciplines. But it seems like there's a trend of these big companies bulking up in size and trying some economies of scale, but also cutting back on some of the management teams by taking two teams and combining them into one. You save a little bit there. I'm not sure that I see the jurisdiction advantages of some of these, but walk us through your takeaway from this latest announcement of Gold Fields and Yamana.
Well, I think it's great for the sector. You know, these are high profile global miners merging. And the last time we had high profile global miners merging was when Agnico announced they were taking out Kirkland Lake. And the announcement basically put in a bottom in the sector in late last year. And the sector is coming down to retest that bottom. But in another comparison would be Barrick taking out Randgold in September of 2018, which also put in a major bottom in the sector in that time frame I was talking about earlier. And then after that, you know, the Fed reversed course. The Fed pivoted and the mining sector took off as, you know, the punch bowl was being filled again in the marketplace. So that's, you know, that's what a lot of this is hinging on. You know, people are trying to figure out when the Fed is going to have to pivot, because we all know that they're going to have to pivot at some point. You know, I don't think anybody really expects them to raise rates beyond 2% because there's just so much debt in the system. Debt to GDP now is 137%. I mean, Powell loves to bring up the ghost of Paul Volcker and, you know, saying how much respect he had for him to be able to squeeze out inflation. But he can't do that. I mean, when Paul Volcker did that, you know, the U.S. debt to GDP was only just above 30%. So he can't raise rates nearly as much as Volcker did. He can't. I don't even think he can raise rates beyond 2%. But I do think that he can raise it up to 2%, and that would take us into September. But I think they would probably start to become a little dovish before then, because, you know, let's face it, Shad, this is an election year. And I don't think the powers that be want to see the stock market tanking into September, October. So it's going to be really interesting how the Fed's going to try to wiggle out of this mess, because I think they've got one more save in them before the entire system comes crashing down at some point. So it's going to be really interesting how this works out. And you could bet that the gold stocks and the gold sector will sniff it out before it happens. Because, I mean, in 2008, we had the gold stocks bottom 5 months before the stock market did. The gold stocks bottomed in October of 2008, and the S&P didn't bottom until March. So the gold sector ends up being the scariest and shakes as many people out as it possibly can before it finally takes off again. And that's what it's in the process of doing. I mean, you know, we brought this up before, you know, my favorite David Morgan quote about the mining sector, which is absolutely true. It either scares you out or wears you out. And it's been wearing us out for almost 2 years now. And will it end up with a scare everybody out correction towards the end? That's the $64,000 question right now on everybody's minds that are still in this sector. That's why I've pretty much built up a 40 to 50% cash position, basically saying, okay, if it's already bottomed, I'm leveraged. If it's not already bottomed, I got a lot of cash to scoop up even better deals if we do have that one last scare 'em out correction.
Well, it's a good place to be, having a nice cash position, Dave. And yes, it does allow one the purchasing power to take advantage of any capitulation moves. But I guess my final question is on what you just laid out, that we saw gold sniff out these bottoms in the past, especially linked around Fed rate hiking cycles before the general markets did. And they started moving up quicker than the general markets, and they actually diverged from them to some degree. And even the gold stocks and silver stocks started to move when the metals really started racing higher, and they moved before the general markets. And then if you couple that with the point you made on M&A that Barrick and Randgold won in 2018, the one that we saw with Kirkland Lake, Agnico Eagle, marking a temporary bottom and then having a rally, if this Goldfields and Yamana one is kind of in that same neighborhood where the big companies are being opportunistic, do you think we'll see a wave of even further M&A between some of those mid-tiers, or some of the developers get picked off, or some of the small single asset producers? Do you think that would signify that this is a time where companies feel it's a good time to be buying each other?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've learned their lessons from the past. You know, they're no longer waiting for the market to start topping before they start, you know, making these deals. You know, because let's face it, you know, during 2010, 2011, when that wave of mergers and acquisitions came in, it destroyed the mining sector because they ended up buying these bulk tonnage mining operations, you know, that were low margin, that needed higher gold prices, and they did it with dilution, which destroyed the sector. So now, you know, they've gotten really, really smart about it. They've taken these strategic positions in a lot of these companies, and they're cash rich now. You know, they've worked off their huge debt loads. You know, they're making gobs of money here with all-in sustaining costs still under $1,200 an ounce, and the gold price still above $1,800 an ounce. So they're making gobs of money. They're saving gobs of money, and they see all these deals out there, And I think they're going to start taking advantage of them again. I mean, this is what happens. You know, all it takes is just one major deal to be announced, and then it sets off a wave of other deals. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that starting to take place now after this merger was announced.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow along with that, Dave, because it does seem like the last few have actually been well-timed for some of these companies to do it. And we could see a wave of M&A out of this. That is those companies saying, aha, here's the time where we think buying low is going to be good. And they wouldn't be doing that if they didn't think metals prices and their margins were going to be moving higher. So we'll keep tabs on that. But it's definitely interesting news out this week. And we appreciate you being with us here on the KE Report to share your insights with us, Dave. If people like getting Dave's thoughts, definitely click on the link below to juniorminerjunkie.com. And we're looking forward to talking to you again next week, Dave.
Me too, Shad. I look forward to it as well. Always great to talk to you.